This is West Virginia Morning. I'm your host, Glynis Borg. Folks in Southern West Virginia got together this weekend for some socially distant professional wrestling. That updates on the spread of the pandemic throughout our region. Plus, we remember a West Virginian lost to COVID-19. It's all coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. Shirley Love, a state lawmaker and legendary West Virginia broadcaster, died Friday. He was 87 years old. Roxy Todd has this remembrance.
Love was born in Oak Hill, West Virginia. In a 2018 bibliographical statement in the Herald Dispatch, Love listed his education as, quote, public high school, University of Hard Knocks. In reality, Love graduated from Collins High School in Oak Hill. Love initially studied to become a machinist and welder, according to a 1994 article in the Charleston Gazette. But he also had a great voice and often sang in church, so he began working as a broadcaster with WOAY Radio. As a journalist with WOAY, Love covered issues that range from mining disasters to high school football games. He was also an announcer for the program Saturday Night Wrestling. Love also had a long stint in politics, serving as a Democrat in the state Senate from 1994 until 2008, and then in the state House of Delegates from 2016 to 2018. Governor Jim Justice ordered that U.S. and state flags be flown at half-staff on Monday in honor of Shirley Love. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd.
Now, you've heard of drive-in theaters, perhaps drive-in dining, but how about drive-in professional wrestling? The All-Star Wrestling Company, based in Madison, Boone County, had its first show of the summer Saturday night. Emily Allen donned a mask of her own, the counter-COVID kind, and brought back this story.
Normally, these wrestlers fight indoors at venues like the Madison Civic Center. But the All-Star Wrestling Company recently relocated to an open field behind Lee Dance Studio in Winfield, Putnam County. By 7 p.m., at least 50 cars surround a wrestling ring. They have someone in between matches come out to spray and wipe down the red padded corners. Loud rock blasts from a stereo system at the front of the ring. Families and fans watch from the hoods of their cars or on lawn chairs. Some wear masks, but most watch at a safe distance from both the stage and each other.
Pro wrestling is about the energy that comes from that live crowd.
This is owner and promoter Gary Damron. We talked before the show while everyone was setting up. He has an All-Star Wrestling mask stretched across his mouth and nose.
The reaction from the fans is what makes wrestling wrestling. WWE and AEW, some of the bigger companies, are not, of course, they can't allow fans to come in and sit around the ring. So they're doing empty arena type shows where they just go in and film the matches, and it just doesn't have the same effect to it.
All-Star Wrestling has been around for 14 years. Like other entertainment-based groups, they're navigating a global pandemic, which means they've already had to cancel 3 indoor shows.
You know, I think this year has been a year of people stepping out on faith, you know, trying to get out and do things they normally have never done, you know, do new things.
The show Saturday night featured mostly local wrestlers and wrestling personality Vicky Guerrero from AEW, All Elite Wrestling. Fans like Ben Music and Al Scott from Portsmouth, Ohio arrived hours early.
I've watched wrestling in 17 states now, I think. And West Virginia's up there. It's probably like in the top 5.
Scott's been to other shows this summer, including a show from IWA East Coast at the Milton Fire Department last weekend.
Because I think they drew about 180 people, is what the Facebook said, and usually that crowd, maybe like 100.
100 at the most.
Yeah,
the
people are stir crazy. They want to get out and watch wrestling. So.
You can do better than that!
The wrestlers also were happy to be back. Like Casey Shingleton, a.k.a. wrestler Kirk Blackman.
It's just nice to see everybody, because I haven't seen any of these guys in 4 months.
Blackman wasn't in the ring Saturday night, but was there to cheer on fellow wrestlers.
So many people just have nothing to look forward to. Some people aren't back at work yet. Some people are laid off. They have nothing to do. Everything seems hopeless. So I guess the importance of this show is just to make sure that people are entertained and make sure that everybody goes home with a smile on their face.
Promoter Dameron said he hopes to have more drive-in shows with social distancing as the summer permits. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
After being spared the worst of the coronavirus pandemic in the early months, cases are now surging in the Ohio Valley. As Aaron Payne reports, public health officials are sounding the alarm as the public works to adopt practices to slow the spread.
Thank you.
It's a quiet scene at the community farmers market in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Vendors and shoppers are wearing face coverings, distancing, and taking other precautions to avoid spreading coronavirus. Market manager Susan Worrell says their first days under the state's recent mask mandate were an adjustment, but shoppers have been understanding.
We had just a couple of people that came without masks, and I just stopped them and explained that we were, even outside, we need to follow the executive order, and offered the mask, and they put the mask on and shopped at the market.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear's order to mandate masks in public places is one of the latest moves to reverse the recent trend of rising case numbers after the state started to reopen. Worrell says she understands that public health orders have been politically divisive, but she's prepared to enforce them for the sake of the local farmers and local food supply.
We need to do what we need to do to stay open.
Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia have seen a surge in cases in July. This has led to some grim milestones. Ohio recently topped 3,000 deaths, Kentucky passed 20,000 total COVID-19 cases, and West Virginia reached its 100th fatality. The data has public health officials and community leaders rethinking what reopening the Ohio Valley looks like and what we can do to reverse the rising numbers. Dr. Gerald Kirsch is the director of the Collaborative Research Corps at Boston University's National Emerging Infectious Disease Laboratory. He says the rising cases can partially be attributed to the polarization of science by some local, state, and federal leaders.
We have diminished the reliability of the information, and we've empowered people who don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Kirsch says now reopening will have to be reimagined, especially as schools struggle with how to safely instruct students in the upcoming year. One of the best tools right now to lower case numbers and work toward normalcy is mask wearing. Information about how exactly masks slowed the spread of coronavirus was limited when the pandemic began, but Kirsch says now the science is clear.
It protects you and it protects others, and there's a moral and ethical responsibility to community.
The implementation of mask mandates is a patchwork across the Ohio Valley. Kentucky and West Virginia have both issued orders, with disagreement over who enforces them. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has left mask mandates up to local governments and businesses, with certain exceptions for counties with high rates of spread and exposure. And some city governments have taken action.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, the motion carries and the ordinance is approved.
Last week, the City Council in Athens, Ohio approved a face covering ordinance that applies to public spaces and where social distancing is not possible. Athens Mayor Steve Patterson says the ordinance is necessary.
I knew since we had gone for roughly 6 weeks with only 3 cases, and then it started creeping up, I kept thinking something needs to be done.
Athens County had 250 confirmed cases of COVID-19 on Friday. In the past 2 weeks, the small rural county has had more confirmed COVID-19 cases than it had during the rest of the pandemic combined, largely driven by cases among people under the age of 29. And shortly after the Athens ordinance, Governor DeWine added Athens County to the list of counties with a mask mandate. Public health officials hope local leaders across the Ohio Valley heed scientific advice and put to use the best tools available to slow the spread of the deadly virus. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Aaron Payne in Athens, Ohio.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. A longer interview with Dr. Gerald Kirsch and state coronavirus data trackers are online at yourcovidresource.org. At least 100 people have died from the coronavirus here in West Virginia. As the pandemic rages on, we wanted to take a few moments to remember the West Virginians who have lost their lives, like Wade Schaefer. The 42-year-old Charleston resident died last month from COVID-19. In his obituary, Wade is described as passionate and kind. His friend Mindy Parsley has this remembrance.
I met Wade in the same way that Wade met a lot of friends. Wade was a lifelong Charleston resident. He grew up here. He grew up on the west side, and he was really a man about town. Wade knew everyone, and he had either grown up with them or met them in some random way, which is how I met Wade. He's a very friendly guy. My boyfriend and I actually met him at the red carpet, of all places. We were living on the East End at the time, and we were fairly new to the area. And we had just walked down there on a random Saturday night, and we were standing at the bar and met Wade. And he just sort of said, would you guys be interested in, you know, hanging out again? And, you know, it sort of just rolled on from there. Really, like the first person to offer up help. He helped friends of ours that he didn't know initially, who eventually also became very good friends with Wade. They were moving to Charleston. You know, they knew us and they knew a couple other people, but, you know, Wade had never met them before and offered up and helped them move into their house. That's just kind of the person Wade was. Like, if he was your friend and you had a friend that he didn't know that needed help, well, they were now his friend because he was friends with you. I think that his real passion was he loved being around the public. He was in the military when he was younger, and he was a cook in the military, and that sort of just translated. He worked a number of service industry jobs. Like, he really loved like cooking for people and being around the public. And he had had some other, you know, jobs throughout his life, but I really think he always went back to the service industry, and especially like food service. He always went back to that. He cooked food at his church, also on the west side. Like that was something he really, really just loved doing. I have this really great memory. So my dad was down here for Thanksgiving, and so he passed away right before Christmas. So the last time we saw him was Thanksgiving. Wade was here for Thanksgiving. Like, he had helped his mother like with their family Thanksgiving, cook a meal, and then we had a little bit later Thanksgiving here, so Wade was over. And I just have this really wonderful memory of like my dad and Wade in the living room just like chatting and like ribbing each other and watching Jeopardy on TV and like laughing about wrong answers they were getting. They were making fun of me. You know, they were just having a great time. And I think about that now because, like, you know, they're both gone now, and it's just something we'll never get back. But I'm glad they at least, like, I'm glad I have that memory. He really brought out the best in people. And I know that for me, when I think about him, I always have a smile on my face. Like, I don't have a bad memory of, you know, my time with Wade. He was always coming from a place of support. And I know that having been friends with him, I hope that I can be a better friend to the friends that I have now. And if there's like one thing I could do to remember Wade, it would just be the kind of friend that he was, which was just the most giving, loving friend anybody could ask for.
That was Mindy Parsley remembering her friend Wade Schaefer. Schaefer passed away on June 4th due to complications from COVID-19. He was 42. This story was produced by Brittany Patterson, music from Blue Dot Sessions. If you've lost a family member or a close friend to the coronavirus and would like to share their story, we'd like to help. You can find more information on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director is Andrea Billups. This morning, I'm your host, Glynis Board. This is West Virginia Morning.